Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. Today's called Desert Shepherds. Jesus, being the great shepherd, began his ministry in the desert. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. That word, wilderness, is a good word for the desert. When we call this area the Judean wilderness, in Hebrew it's called Midbar. Now, this is in Greek, but in Hebrew it's called Midbar. Midbar is a seasonal wilderness. It means that sometimes, occasionally, there may be some rain. And when there is, in that season, and that's usually the winter season, some little bit of grass will grow. But the rest of the time, it's inhospitable. So then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. All right, that's all I'm going to read. Let's look at Luke. Virtually, he says the same thing. Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, this is verse 1, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. All right. The Bible is very specific. It's so specific that sometimes I don't even see things until they're revealed. But let's just talk about the wilderness to start with, and then we'll get into the revelation. This wilderness, I lived there for 3 years, so I'm well familiar with this wilderness. It's barren. When I say barren, rocky, hilly, it's not flat, not a sand dune desert like the Sahara, rocky. Most of the rocks are flint. When you walk around, you have to watch where you step so you don't twist your ankle on loose rocks that are all over the surface, everywhere, all over the surface. There are rock cliffs cut by wadis. Wadis are dry riverbeds that in a rainy season, there'll be a river there for 3-4 days, maybe a week. And along with being barren, it's mostly uninhabited. There are some Bedouin here and there, but mostly it's uninhabited. So if you're in this wilderness, you're not going to see other people. You're not going to see many animals. You're not going to see much of anything. The most populous animals there are insects. You'd see flies, a lot of flies, scorpions, and these kinds of things. It's dry, extremely dry. Not just the ground dry, the air is dry. Like Arizona dry. Very, very, very dry. Very low humidity. The Judean wilderness is kind of a bowl shape. You have the mountains of Israel, mountains of Judea on one side, and you have the mountains of Jordan on the other side, the Dead Sea to the south. And this valley goes all the way up to the north to the Sea of Galilee. So this is a kind of a bowl shape. So all of the sun is reflected. So there's a tremendous amount of, not solar energy, but solar radiation. Tremendous amount of solar radiation in this area. And that's damaging, by the way. It can be very damaging. It's empty. Very little plants. Very few plants. As I said, no animals. It's pretty empty. It's hot. Hot. It can be 120 to 140 degrees. It is very, very hot. It is so hot. And I'm not even talking about June, July, August. When I worked there, I could not work beyond April. In April, the sun would be so hot that if I didn't have a hat on, it would actually feel like inside my head, my brain was starting to boil. It was so hot, it would hurt the top of your head. Even though you have hair, it would hurt the top of your head. And when you're out there in this wilderness, you're totally alone. I mentioned it's barren, it's dry, it's empty. You're totally alone. You're on your own. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into this wilderness for a purpose, for a reason. But I want to just spiritualize it for a moment before we get to him. When we feel empty or burned out, exhausted spiritually, we're in a desert place. When we feel empty, burned out, people say that, oh, burnout, or spiritually exhausted, we're in a desert place, a wilderness. When we've lost our joy, Pastor Mary Beth talking about joy. When you've lost your joy, when you're too tired to laugh, when your prayers seem to go unanswered, you feel all alone, feel nobody understands, you're in a desert place. When we can't bring ourselves to church, and when I say that, either online or in person, I'm not just saying here, because I believe the whole church dynamic has changed. And I believe that forever now, church is going to be online and in person. So if you can't even bring yourself, and look, those of you online, you can look around right now. Look at everybody else online. Those of you that are here, you may not see the people that are online. But I'm sure that if you could, you would see people that are missing. People that can't bring themselves to church. COVID may have done that to them. Absence from church may have done that to them. Cares of life may have done that to them. I don't think we've yet reaped the full harvest from COVID. I believe that, and I'm not talking about sickness and disease, I'm talking about mental illness, spiritual illness. I believe that that harvest is still going to be reaped, and I believe that we need to position ourselves in a place where we can be there to help, because there's still a lot of fallout. Just in the natural, there's still a lot of people who don't feel like working because they sat at home during COVID collecting the unemployment money that was a pretty large amount, and they could make more sitting at home doing nothing than they could going to work. And that extended beyond the COVID. I think it just stopped, but I think some states are putting it back in. So there's no incentive for people to work. And we see signs everywhere. Don't you see signs everywhere? People are desperate for workers. And now, once again, they're starting to bring in foreign workers. Remember how we used to have the whole J-1 program? And that stopped last year. But now I'm seeing a lot more suddenly, just like overnight, we're letting in foreign workers because a lot of people don't want to work anymore. So that's another fallout. Does that mean that we're going to have a forever major welfare program? I don't want to get into that. But just think about those things. So that's what I mean. Well, if we can't bring ourselves to church, if we can't bring ourselves to pray, if we can't bring ourselves to read the Word of God or to seek the face of God, we're in a desert place. That's a desert place. That's a wilderness. Now, as we read this about Jesus, I read two places. Now, it's also in Mark, but very briefly in Mark, so I didn't have his turn there. It says that Jesus fasted. He went without food and afterward hungered. Now, you probably may have already seen this. I never thought about this. It doesn't say that Jesus went without drinking. It just says he went without food. Jesus fasted. I believe that means he drank water while he was in the wilderness. So I began to think about this. That gives us a clue to where he was spending his time in the wilderness. There are no oases in the Judean wilderness. There are no pools with palm trees like you would find in other deserts. But there are wadis, the dry riverbeds. And if you follow the wadis up far enough, you can many times find water that doesn't reach down to Jericho and the Dead Sea, but it's closer up to where it originated in Jerusalem and the hills of Judea. And there are pools, and usually it's not flowing, but there'll be pools, small pools of water. Now, a human can last about 53 days without food, but about 10 days without water. Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights. So why is that interesting to me? Well, it speaks to me of the fact that Jesus probably, in that time, the 40 days in the wilderness, was in the wadis, which also means another point we're going to look at. It means that he probably was near the water sources so that he could drink. He was fasting, but he was drinking. And John chapter 7, you don't need to turn, I'll just quote it to you. But John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe that this is symbolic, that Jesus drinking, though he was in this desert place, he was finding sustenance. He was finding something to drink. He was fasting voluntarily. But yet the Spirit of God leading him up into the wilderness, that Holy Spirit is the source where we drink when we are in a desert place in life, when we are in a wilderness in life. The Spirit of God is our source of life. He says, living water, living water. That water gives us life when we can turn to no one else. That water gives us life when we don't know who can help us, if anyone can help us. As dry as we may feel, as empty as we may feel, as used up, as burned out, if we look to the Spirit of God, draw on that living water, we will be resuscitated, rejuvenated, and we will be ready to go forward in faith. Jesus was there for a purpose. So he couldn't get completely wasted while he's in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit keeps us strong. The Holy Spirit, and actually it says in Luke 4, Jesus was being full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. So he was led by the Spirit. There's a difference to being led by the Spirit, as in verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. See, he was led of the Spirit into this time in the wilderness. He came out in the power of the Spirit. Sometimes we avoid wilderness places, and yet those are empowering places. Wilderness places are empowering places. If we find ourselves in a wilderness, rather than beat ourselves up for being there, allow it to empower us as Jesus did. Now, the second thing is that the sun beats mercilessly. No clouds out there. Hot, dry. I don't believe, if you watch movies, any movies that portray this time in Jesus' life, you'll see him walking on hilltops and walking all of, I don't believe that, I don't believe that's accurate. I don't believe he got burned to a crisp, sunburned, you know. And by the way, you mentioned about people being red. This is a red state, so that's why people get all red when they come here. I don't believe Jesus was out getting sunburned. I believe that he was the second thing in the wadi. The wadis are the only places that provide any shade. Wadis, I don't want to compare them to the Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon is huge, but a wadi is like that in a smaller scale. The sides can be very steep, maybe 500 to 1,000 feet, and not real wide, so that it provides shade. And there can even be some greenery in there. And that's another reason some of the water pools can remain, because the sun doesn't hit them directly. They'll be in the shade. Now, in Israel, in Wadi Kelt, and Wadi Kelt came out right at Herod's palaces where I worked. If you follow that wadi and go up Wadi Kelt, it goes all the way to Jerusalem. But about halfway there, there's a monastery called the Monastery of St. George. And that monastery commemorates Jesus' time in the wilderness. Now, I just thought the monastery was in that wadi because they wanted to be remote, and they were monks, and they were out in the wilderness. But I realized that they were probably had the revelation far before I did, that Jesus probably spent time in that wadi, because that was the only place that afforded any shade and the possibility of any water. One of the things that God's word says in Psalm 91:1, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty, that's shade. We have to remain under the shade of God. When life gets hot, seek the shade of the presence of God. When the devil turns up the heat, seek the shade of the presence of God. When we're not under that shade, we're at the mercy of the elements. That sun filled with radiation that goes in every direction, that sun is absolutely mercilessly hot. And if you can get into the shade. Now, here in America, What do we do? Now, tonight, by the way, we're going to continue this desert when we're talking about desert survival tonight. We're going to talk about desert survival. But here in America, when it gets hot, what does everybody do? They put on shorts, short sleeves, right? They wear less clothing. When you go to the beach, people look like, well, they're even less clothing at the beach now. But people wear less clothing. It's the reverse in a place like this. The people that live in the wilderness, they wear more clothing. The hotter it gets, the longer their sleeves, the more they wear. They know the effects of the sun. They know what happens. And so they cover. So if you ever notice, they have several layers even. And you're like wondering, how in the world can they stay cool with all those layers? But those layers actually provide insulation against the heat. We think of insulation against the cold. You wear several layers in the wintertime. Same thing in the summer. Those layers provide, and they're light layers. They're not heavy. They're not wearing down jackets. They're light layers. Actually, down, is that, that's a no-no today, down? Is that right? That's not politically correct anymore, down, because it comes from goose feathers. I think that's not politically correct anymore. So fiberfill, they're not wearing fiberfill vests. They're wearing light clothing, but several layers, which provides the air to go through, and they actually stay cooler. Another thing that they would do here in the South, when it gets hot, what do we break out? The sweet tea, right? We break out the sweet tea. Well, in the Middle East, they don't drink iced tea. They drink hot tea. In the middle of the heat, hot tea. In fact, they don't even eat lunch. They eat breakfast and dinner, and they drink hot tea throughout the rest of the day. Now, granted, the hot tea is made, a teapot this big, you would put in 2 handfuls of loose tea and 5 shot glasses of sugar. Yeah. Now, they have shot glasses not because they drink alcohol. They have shot glasses to measure their sugar. But they put 5 of those in. So what they call their tea, they actually call their tea a meal. That feeds them. Now, when I lived with the Bedouin in their tents, I drank their tea every day. When I finished living with them and I'm back up in Jerusalem, I would wake up in the middle of the night needing sugar. Absolutely. I needed it. I would actually go into the kitchen, and I didn't want to just eat the sugar. So I'd take the sugar and I'd mix it with some cocoa powder, put a little milk in it, and I would eat that. I had to wean myself away from this high sugar intake. But this sustains them in the wilderness, this high sugar intake, this sweet tea. I mean, talk about sweet tea. Super sweet hot tea. Even today, you know, I'll drink hot drinks even through the midst of the summer. Because when you drink something hot in the heat, it actually cools off your body. It's something that works like that. So, the shadow of God. Don't be far from the shade of the presence of God. How far does your shadow cast on a day, in a day? Your shadow, it doesn't cast, you know, like miles, does it? Your shadow is very close to you. So in order to be in the shadow of God, that means we need to be close to Him. We can't be far away from the Lord and expect to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, in His shade. But in His shade, there's refreshing. In His shade, there's sustenance. In His shade, there's strengthening. In His shade, there's peace. In His shade, there's comfort. When I would be working and excavating, getting toward April, getting so hot, I'd have my hat on, but still, it would be so, so hot. I would take a break. I would seek an area where we cut really deeply. There was a tell there, an artificial mound. And Herod built a bathhouse up high so you have this beautiful view. So it was about 2 stories high. The bathhouse was gone, but the mound was still there. That was his platform that he built this palace on. But we, in order to make sure it was artificial, we cut a trench through part of it, straight in. So that was pretty deep. And during the daytime, there would be shade. I would go press myself up against one wall, even for 5 minutes, to get out of the sun and get in the shade and feel and experience that refreshing. Even 5 minutes in the presence of God will refresh us for whatever battle we may be facing. whatever difficulty we may be going through, and strengthens us to come out of the wilderness. Because as we know, Jesus did not stay in the wilderness. He came out of the wilderness. The third thing I want to talk about is that Jesus, because he was not eating, he was becoming physically weak. It says, afterward, he hungered. The enemy will come in at our point of weakness. Whatever our point of weakness is, that's where the enemy attacks. The point of weakness in any city wall is the gate. The gate, you'd think, well, that's not the weak point because that's where people come and go. They have all these towers to protect it. That's the weakest point because it's not solid. It can be broken down, burned down, battered down. So what is the gateway? What weakness is our gateway to the enemy? We need to identify the weak point and strengthen it. Jesus became weak. So the enemy came in. What does it say? He hungered. So where does the enemy start? He comes in verse 3. I'm still in Luke 4. Verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now there is an endless amount of stones in the wilderness. So it's no accident that the enemy talks about stones, because he's acknowledging how much stone is out there. Command this stone that it be made bread. What does it say in verse 2? Afterward, he hungered. So the enemy comes in at his point of weakness. It may be a physical weakness, an emotional weakness, a mental weakness. Whatever it is, we need to fortify those points in our defense. We need to identify if we have a physical weakness. When I say a physical weakness, something that we cannot overcome. Maybe it's an addiction. There are many people that are still addicted to things like nicotine or sugar or overeating or anything of that nature. So we need to identify that. It may be an emotional weakness where there's something in our emotional makeup that we're just not strong. We go to pieces. We collapse when that happens or when that occurs or when we get to that point. It may be a mental weakness, something that we just can't comprehend. We can't think through. We can't work through. Whatever it may be, the temptation will generally come in the weakest point. So we need to identify that, because the Word of God says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not ignorant of his attacks. We're not ignorant of what he looks for, where he looks. So strengthen the weak hands, the Word of God says. Strengthen the feeble hands. And find those weak points and strengthen yourself in those places. Matthew 4:4 says that Jesus answered, man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone. Jesus is acknowledging, yes, he's hungry, but that is not his life-sustaining force. Physical life is not as important as spiritual life. The most important thing we did in our lives was be born again. That is when our spiritual life came alive, came into being. When we were born again, we were born spiritually. Our spirit came alive to the things of God, the power of God, the authority of God, victory over the devil, the promises of God, the blessings of God, the purpose and direction of God. All of these things became available the moment we were born again. Prior to that, none of those things were available to us. They were there for us, but unavailable to us. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Which means that while he was physically not eating bread, he was still spiritually eating the bread of God's word. I am the bread of life, he said. Jesus is the word made flesh. One of the things we need to do is make sure that if the world is giving us a barren wilderness, that we are filling ourselves with God's word, filling ourselves with the promises and blessings and presence of God through the word of God. Because we will remain strong even in the midst of wilderness. Tonight, I'm going to tell you a story. I'll just reference him today. There is a race. It's like a marathon. Now, a marathon is 26 miles, but they also have double marathons. Double marathons are 53 miles or so. Well, there is a double marathon. They don't call it that. They just call it a marathon race. It's 53 miles in the Sahara Desert. It goes over 6 or 7 days. All right, now, when I first heard that, I thought, you got to be an idiot to do this. I've lived in the desert. People from all around the world, and they don't get the tens of thousands that the New York Marathon or the Boston Marathon get. No, no. They have about 80 people. 80 people. Anyway, a few years ago, in the middle of the race, there's an Italian runner, of course, and he's in fourth place, and a sandstorm comes up. He gets lost. He survived, just barely. We'll talk about that tonight, desert survival. But when he was found, he was 100 miles away from the course and in another country. He started out in Morocco. He ended up in Algeria, 100 miles away. So he survived, but there's some things he did to survive, which we'll talk about. Some are gross, but we're going to talk about them anyway. I'll lighten it in a little bit. But the man's a survivor. Here, we need to not just survive the wilderness, but thrive. Jesus did not come dragging out of the wilderness. I read that scripture already. He came out in the power of the Spirit. He was not debilitated by the wilderness. He was energized by the wilderness. If we allow the wilderness to dictate to us, we will be beaten down, broken down, and continue in weakness. But if we take charge of the wilderness by filling ourselves with God's word, even when we're in the midst of a wilderness place, even when we feel exhausted and tired and that our prayers aren't being answered, and what's the point, what's the use, we continue to feed on God's word. That means coming to church online in person. We're giving the word of God, feeding the word of God, and we continue to draw on the living water of the Holy Spirit. We will be energized and empowered, and we will come out in the power of the Spirit, no more to suffer that weak point again. We will have overcome that, and the enemy will know it as well. If the enemy knows that you have strength, and let's say that he has this gate where he likes to attack, if you take that gate out and you fill that in with a wall, he's not going to attack there anymore. So we're speaking about strengthening the weak points in our lives, strengthening the weak places in our lives. Temptation comes to all of us. Temptation came to Jesus. Temptation will either make us weaker or make us stronger. It's all how we handle it. The temptation is not sin. It's what we do with it that either leads to sin or leads to victory. It either leads to sin or leads to victory. So what happens is we must get control of our emotions, our minds, so that we do not say, you know, well, I'm feeling so weak already. Well, nobody cares about me already. Well, nobody in church, I'm just going to do it anyway. No. Gird up the loins of your mind, the scripture says. Pluck up every thought that exalts itself against the word of God. Do not dwell on it. Do not think about it. What we need to do is see that we can get through whatever it is, whatever wilderness. Now, you may not be in a wilderness today, but one day you may find yourself there and not know how you got there. It doesn't matter how you got there or what kind of wilderness it is, but what is to know is that you can beat it. You can overcome it. You can get through it. Jesus came out in power, and so can we.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.